brought such a thing. We will not even grant respect to a person involving himself in this. Nabi Pak said, "Man waqqara sahiba bid'atin faqad aana ala hadmi al-Islam." That person who even grants ta'zim, he even grants respect to a person who has involved himself in bid'at, in bringing new things into Shariat, then he has aided in the destruction of Islam. Granting respect to a bid'ati is aiding in the destruction of Islam. We find, my respected brothers, that the lesson is quite simple, that let us look at the ahadith of Nabi Pak, and in this light that we will discuss this day of Ashura, that what is proven from the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what is not found. And together with that, my respected brothers, we find that this is the beauty of Islam, that every aspect of the life of Nabi Pak has been preserved for us. We are left in absolutely no doubt, to such an extent that what Nabi Pak said, for instance, many of us have heard the name Bukhari, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, for instance, his collection of ahadith, to collect that hadith of 5,000 or so ahadith that he has got in his kitab, he collected it, he sifted it out from 600,000 ahadith. This is the type of memory that Allah Ta'ala gave him. And then before writing down each hadith, he performed 2 rakat salatul istikhara. He made ghusl before that salah, and then he wrote down each hadith. And if his heart felt that this was the word of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he wrote down that hadith. And together with that, we find that there are books in the Shariat wherein any person who has ever narrated a hadith from Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the entire life history of that person is written. What type of a person he was, what type of memory he had, what type of akhlaq and character that person had. Everything is written down, all for the preservation of this deen of Islam, all for the preservation, that new things must not come into this deen. The deen must stay, that which Nabi Pak brought, because when you are going to add to this deen, then we are making the tuhmat, the claim against Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they forgot to put these things in the Shariat, and today we see the importance of adding these things. Na'udzubillah. I respect with so much of effort the ulama have made, so much the effort the sahaba and ta'abiyin have made in protecting and bringing us this pristine deen. What right today do we have to add things into the Shariat from our side, and to just accept what anybody else is saying? We find that, as I was mentioning concerning each hadith of Bukhari, for instance, all the other hadith kitab are similar. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi will not say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it and end there, that just I feel that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. I heard from certain person, who heard from certain person, who heard from certain person, who heard from this sahabi, who heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that such a thing was said. And then not just those names, then he knew about the life of each of those persons, what type of a person he was. The reason I'm mentioning this is to show the depth of importance that was attached to protecting that what Nabi Pak said, that is what we want, and what anybody fabricated, that is not what we are interested in. We find, my respected brothers, coming back to the topic, we find Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Qadima Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Madina, then Nabi Pak came to the city of Medina, فَوَجَدَ الْيَهُودَ صِيَامًا يَوْمَ عَشُورًا, and he found that in the day of Ashura, the Yahud, the Jews that were in Medina, were fasting on this day. So Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي تَصُومُونَهُ, that what is the reason that you are fasting on this particular day? So they replied to him that هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, this is a great day, this is a day of glory. أَنْجَى اللَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam and his people from Fir'aun, وَغَرَّقَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمَهُ, and Allah ta'ala drowned Fir'aun and his nation. So فَصَامَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا وَنَحْنُ نَصُومُهُ, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in shukr, in gratitude, that this is the day Allah Ta'ala saved me and my nation, he fasted on this day. وَنَحْنُ نَصُومُهُ, and we also fast on this day, because we are the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and we follow that particular Nabi. But we find it is absolutely clear that the Yahud had distorted the deen of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, after having heard this explanation, he said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ, we have more rights and we are closer to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you, because we find that the deen that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam brought, and together with that the deen that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam brought, this was the deen of haq. So Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that we are closer to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you. فَصَامَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَمَرَ بِسِيَامِهِ, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam thereafter kept his roza, and he ordered. Now when the order and injunction came to the rest of the sahaba, then we learn the importance of this roza, that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam ordered the sahaba to fast on this day. And together with that, also concerning the day of Ashura, what we find in the Sahih Ahadith that is mentioned, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that من وسع على عياله وأهله يوم عاشوراء من أوسع على عياله وأهله يوم عاشوراء أوسع الله عليه سائر سنته كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person, for instance, each and every one of us, we have mentioned this last week also in the Jumu'ah, concerning the importance of spending on our families, that it is also an ibadat, that Allah Ta'ala will grant us very, very great reward in this regard, to such an extent that I'll mention that hadith again, wherein Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ بِهَا حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلُ فِي imraatik, that you do not spend anything with the intention of gaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, except that Allah Ta'ala rewards you to the extent of that morsel of food which you take and put in the mouth of your wife. Allah Ta'ala will grant you reward even for that. We find that such is the reward for spending on our families. And concerning the day of Ashura, Nabi Pak Salaam said that that person who will spend even more freely on his family, that compared to the rest of the days of the year, how much we spend on our family, that person spends even more during this day, then Allah Ta'ala will grant him an increase in sustenance. Allah Ta'ala will make ease in his sustenance for the rest of the year. So we find that if we increase together with the niyat of sawab and together with the yaqeen that definitely by my spending through the injunction of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala will increase upon me through the rest of the year. If we have this firm yaqeen and then we increase on our family, on our families in this day, then we will get so much reward. And my respected brothers, sticking to what we are mentioning concerning what is proven concerning the day of Ashura, together with that, there is one other riwayat we find wherein it is mentioned, or wherein we find proof and subut of the fact that the day of Ashura was also the same day on which the ark of Nuh alayhi salam came to land on the Mount of Judi. That is, after the storm had taken place, after the flood, the ark of Nuh alayhi salam landed. Besides these two occurrences, one, the fact that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from Fir'aun, and the second, that the ark of Nuh alayhi salam landed on the Mount of Judi, from the Sahih Ahadith, we can find absolutely no proof, absolutely no substantiation for the other claims that are attached to the day of Ashura. For instance, the fact that Ibrahim al-Islam was saved from the fire on this day, the fact that Adam al-Islam was forgiven on this day, the fact that Adam al-Islam came from the heavens onto the earth on this day. My respected brothers, where are these things coming from? Where are these things found? They have become so common that if anybody talks about the day of Ashura, if anybody is to tell somebody else that this did not take place or there is no proof, we'll think that person is gone mad. What is he talking about? But we find, my respected brothers, in the Ahadith and Nabi's last, there is absolutely no evidence in this regard. And as I mentioned, besides these two things, our yaqeen must be to accept these two things. The rest of the things, we have to turn a deaf ear towards it, until of course it is proven in the Sahih Ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until such time, Allah Ta'ala is not going to question us in the day of judgment that why did you say that Adam al-Islam, why did you not say that Adam al-Islam was not sent down from the heaven, why did you not accept that Ibrahim al-Islam was saved from the fire on this day. We are not going to be questioned in this regard. So why must we get involved in such things? Also practices, for instance, it is mentioned that if a person strains sorts of things that people have fabricated. For instance, it said if a person puts sunma on the day of Ashura, then for the rest of the year his eyes won't pain. If a person takes a bath on this day, for the rest of the year he won't fall ill. Where is the evidence for such claims, my respected? We find that also the practice amongst the Shias of going to all sorts of difficulties on this day, painting their faces, scratching themselves, lamenting on this day, mourning on this day. Where is the evidence of this? We find that automatically, unfortunately, because many of our children are not taught correctly in deen, and amongst the elders, we feel that the importance of the day of Ashura is because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. My respected brothers, without a doubt, the martyrdom of the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a source of grief. It is a source of great grief and difficulty for each and every one of us. But together with that, we have to realize that this martyrdom has absolutely no significance with the day of Ashura. If it occurred, we find that it is merely coincidence that this thing took place on the day of Ashura, but the day of Ashura does not get any of its significance from the fact that the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu took place on this particular day. The answer is quite simple. As I mentioned, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that that which is my deen is concerning what you find on my sunnah and the sunnah of my Khulafa'i Rashideen. The martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu took place over 50 years after Nabi Pak Salaam left this world. If any person comes with a claim now that the day of Ashura got its significance from that martyrdom, then na'udhu billah, we would be forced to claim that after Nabi Pak Salaam left this world, 50 years passed, this aspect of deen had not yet come down. Only when Sayyidina Hussain radiallahu anhu was martyred, then the importance of Ashura came down, and now this aspect of deen was found. Na'udhu billah, my respected brothers, such a person's iman is in khatra, such a person's iman is in danger. Nasaib al-Shariat was Nabi Pak Salaam. What he said is part of Shariat. What occurred after he left this world, 50 years after he left this world, how can that be of importance in the Sharia? And then concerning going to such extremes in mourning, if you have to look in the lives of the Sahaba, you have to start every day of the year some Sahaba was martyred. So many of them gave their lives in the path of Allah Ta'ala. They considered this as izzat to give their lives in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But respectfully, it's not a source now for us to go on mourning and scratching our faces and doing all sorts of things. Shariat has taught us i'tidal. Shariat has taught us a moderate road. That when it comes to mourning, somebody passes away, there must be moderation. When it comes to joy, there must be moderation. And in both, Allah Ta'ala will grant us reward. Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ajaban li amril mu'min. I am surprised, I am pleased at the affairs of a mu'min. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khair. Every affair, every circumstance of a believer is a source of good for him. In asabathu sarrahu shakara fakana khairan lahu. If he finds himself in good circumstances, some good is coming towards him, he makes the shukr of Allah Ta'ala and it becomes a source of good for him. In asabathu darrahu sabara fakana khairan lahu. If he finds himself in difficulty, hard circumstances are coming upon him, he makes sabr and Allah, and this becomes a source of good for him. Allah Ta'ala grants him reward. Moderation, when faced with difficulty, the mu'min makes sabr. When some goodness comes, he makes shukr. Sharia does not ordain, or Sharia does not allow us to carry ourselves out in this fashion, my respected brothers. And another very, very dangerous aspect that has come in is that because of breaking ghulu, because of going beyond the means in our love for the Ahle Bayt, for the family of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, despite there is no doubt in the fact that love for the Ahle Bayt, for the family of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is part of our Shariat, it is part of our Deen. Every one of us must have love for the family of our beloved Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is only natural. But my respected brothers, this does not allow us to make ghulu or to go to such an extent of slandering the rest of the Sahaba. For instance, many of us are well aware of the battle which took place between Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. We do not want to go into the details of that battle, but the lesson and the point dealing with our aqeedah that I would like to bring to your attention is that especially during the month of Muharram and times like these, when it is mentioned concerning the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, which took place during the Khilafat of the son of Muawiyah, Yazid. So we find that people getting too involved in Josh, getting too involved in that, they start slandering Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, na'uzubillah, and they start speaking against the other Sahaba. It is the practice of the Shia that we are learning such things from, my respected brothers, and the Sharia does not allow anything in this regard. We find time and again, every Friday we are hearing it. Unfortunately, we have not taken the effort to learn a little bit of the Arabic language. Every Friday the Khatib stands on that mimbar and he says, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhiduhum gharadam min ba'di. He's quoting a hadith of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fear Allah concerning my Sahaba. That is, be very, very careful. Guard your tongues when it comes to the rights of my Sahaba. La tattakhiduhum gharadam min ba'di. Don't make them the target of your criticism after me. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. That person who loves the Sahaba, it is because of my love that he loves the Sahaba. And that person who hates the Sahaba, without exception, any Sahabi, فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ, because of his hatred of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is hating that Sahabi. Allah Ta'ala has declared, رَضِيَ anhum وَرَضُوا an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. What right have we got now to start looking into their lives and start picking out faults and picking against one Sahaba and saying that this Sahaba is, na'uzubillah, is like this, and this Sahaba, na'uzubillah, is like that? Just to mention one incident of how dangerous this is, where we are even shown in this dunya, it is mentioned concerning one person that it was his practice every year that he would perform Hajj. And after performing Hajj, he would go to Madinatul Munawwara. He would sit in front of the grave of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he would sing Ash'ar in praise of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thereafter, he would sing a few poems in praise of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. It is the belief of one sect of the Shia that, na'uzubillah, after Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, all the Sahaba besides five, na'uzubillah, became murtad. They went out of the pale of Islam. My respected brothers, who are they slandering? Who are they claiming against? Their claim is against Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because to look at the value of a teacher, we look towards the student, towards his students. And if we are going to run down the students, then indirectly we are running down the teacher. And we find that so many ahadith, Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us that guard your tongues concerning my Sahaba to such an extent that, as I mentioned, that battle which took place between Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, these such incidents, the ulama have put them under a separate category which are called mushajarat e sahaba. And a student of hadith, before he can even start studying these things, he is warned that you have to be very, very careful in this regard. Wherever it comes to making an interpretation, make it in favor of the sahaba. Do not speak against anything against the sahaba, because it is something to do with our iman. Which is the hadith today where it was mentioned that it is a sign of iman to have love for the ansar, and it is a sign of nifaq to have hatred for the ansar. So we find that this person, we should sing this ash'ar, and that there was one Shia, one Rafiz, another term for Shia is the Rafiz, who was nearby, and he heard this person singing this ash'ar in praise of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu anhu, and his hatred for the Sahaba was prevalent. And we find that this person thought that now he's going to take some revenge on this person. So he went up to him and he told him that, I am a resident of Medina, why didn't you come and have a meal with me? I'm very, very happy by what you are saying, and I was very pleased, and I was watching you, and I'm attracted towards you, why didn't you come and have a meal with me? So this person thought to himself that it is a Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when somebody gives you a da'wah, you should accept it. So, in a clean fashion, not doubting anything about this person's intentions, he accepted the da'wah. And he took him to his house. The moment this person entered, they walked some distance, the house was a little bit away from Medina. The moment this person entered his house, he had two slaves which got hold of this person, they took a knife and they cut out his tongue. Why? Because he was using this tongue to sing the praises of the Sahaba of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this person, in his grief, he took his tongue and he was crying, and he came back to the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he stood in front of the Rozai Abdus, and he spoke to Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "It is our iman, my respected brothers, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive in his grave, and that is the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, and any person who doubts in this regard, his iman is in khatra, his iman is in danger." So we find that he stood there, and he addressed Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that, "Ya Rasulullah, in my praising your Sahaba, this is what has happened to me." And in this grief, crying, this person fell asleep. And in his sleep, this person saw in his dream that Nabi Pak sallallahu came in front of him. He was lying there in this condition, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi came with his two Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhum, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi told them that, "Look at this person, because of singing ash'ar, singing poetry in your praise, this is the difficulty he has underwent." Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi took his tongue with his own hands in his dream and he placed it in the mouth of this person. When this person woke up from this dream, he found that his speech had been restored and his tongue was back in his mouth and everything was absolutely back to normal. He made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he went away. The following year, he came back for Hajj. After having performed his Hajj, as was his ma'amul, as was his practice, he went to Madinatul Munawwara, and once again, he started singing ash'ar in praise of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in praise of his two Sahaba. So we find now a youngster came to him. And this youngster seemed very sad and seemed very perturbed. And he came to him and he told him that, won't you come and have a meal with me? I'm inviting you to my house. So this person, once again now, remembering his last year's experience, any one of us would have immediately shirked from it. We would have said, "Sorry, I'll eat myself and look after myself." But this person thought to himself, "It is a sunnah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've got no reason to doubt," so he accepted it. And we find that this youngster starts leading him towards his home. And now this person, as he is walking, is becoming even more and more perturbed and is becoming worried, because he sees he's going in the same direction that he was taken last year. And he carries on, and he notices now that they're approaching the same house that he approached the previous year. But nevertheless, having accepted the da'wah, he still continued. And when they entered the house, this person laid down the dastakhan, he fed him, and after partaking that meal, this youngster started crying and couldn't control himself the way he was sobbing. So this person asked the youngster, that what is troubling you? What's the difficulty that you are going through? The youngster could not bring himself to speak, so he pointed to one door of the house. This person got up and he opened the door, and looking inside the room, he saw a hideous creature resembling a monkey, screaming all sorts of strange sounds, and he saw this terrible sight and he immediately closed the door and he came back out again. So he asked the youngster, "Well, what is that?" And he could see quite clearly that creature was the source of the grief of this youngster. So he asked the youngster that, "What is troubling you? What is that creature? Explain to me what is happening." So then this youngster narrated to him. The youngster did not know that this was the same person. He narrated to him that, "Last year, my father, who had hatred for the Sahaba in his heart, na'uzubillah, found a person singing ash'ar in praise of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radhiyallahu anhu, and he brought him to our house and he cut off his tongue. Immediately after that, the next day, that evening, my father went into his room and I heard all sorts of strange screaming sounds. And when I opened the door of my room, that creature which you find inside the room is what I found there. That is Allah Ta'ala, and in this dunya given in this azab, that Allah Ta'ala changed him into that form." So he said, we spread the khabar, the news around, that my father went for a journey, and then a few days later we said, we heard that my father passed away on the journey, so that it has not become disgrace, his zillah does not take place. Then this person informed the youngster that, "I was the same person whom your father brought, and this is what he did to me. And this is the azab of Allah Ta'ala brought upon such a person." We find, my respected brothers, from the stories and incidents like this, we learn quite clearly that we have to be very, very careful when it comes to the shan of the Sahaba. When Allah Ta'ala has declared His pleasure with them, we have got absolutely no right whatsoever to slander them. And we find that it is through their mehnat, it is through their efforts that this deen of Islam has reached us today. How much of difficulty they underwent, the love that they expressed for Nabi Akbar Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is something we cannot even touch, we cannot even look in that direction. One person came to Ibn Mubarak, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he asked him that, "Who is more superior, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, that is one of the very great Islamic rulers who ruled about 100 years after Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Muawiyah radiallahu anhu?" Abdullah ibn Mubarak became very, very angry with this person and said, "How can you make such a comparison between a Sahaba and a Tabi'i?" That is, he said that the position of Umar bin Abdul Aziz is not even equal to the dust that gathered on the nose of the horse of Muawiyah radhiyallahu anhu while he was making jihad with Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not even of that daraja, he's not even of that rank. During the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, we find one Rafis had two donkeys to make tawheen against the Sahaba. He named one Abu Bakr, he named the other one Umar. But we find that this person in this dunya, again Allah Ta'ala showed him, one of the donkeys gave him a kick, as a result of which this person died. So when somebody informed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh concerning this, Imam Sahib said that it is my contention, it is my thought, it is my belief that if you make tahqeeq, you will find that the one named Umar was the one that gave him the kick. So we find that when they made tahqeeq, they found that it was actually the donkey that he had named Umar that had given him the kick that resulted in his death. This is why we find the ta'asir, the effect of name upon the character of a person. But together with that, my respected brothers, the lesson must not be lost. We find Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us time and again to protect our tongues when it comes to the shan of the Sahaba. On the one hand, we must have love for the Ahlul Bayt. Definitely the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is a source of grief for us, but it does not give us right to make tahreef in the deen, to start changing the deen, or to speak against any of the other Sahaba. And together with that, my respected brothers, concerning this day of Ashura, as we have mentioned time and again, we should not involve ourselves in excessive mourning. We should increase our spending in our family. Just to recap and round up, we should involve ourselves in roza on this day, as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that this roza will result in all our past sins being, past years sins being forgiven. And very, very important, the main lesson that we should learn, my respected brothers, is that the importance of gaining the ilm, gaining the knowledge of deen, and not bringing all sorts of outside things, all sorts of adulteration into the deen of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This day has been given preference, it has been given importance for certain reasons. Let us give it that due importance in this light and involve ourselves in ibadah in this day. We find that it is a day that has been given and privilege. We should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together with the fact that all our minor sins are going to be forgiven. Let us make tawbah, sincere tawbah, repentance to Allah ta'ala. If there's anybody we broke up relations with, we should try to go to such a person and build up our relations once again, because we find that when a person has broken up links with one of his family members, then Allah ta'ala does not accept the dua of such a person. That is why it is very, very important that we make every attempt that we can to once again cause those bonds to come once again together and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the zaat of Allah ta'ala is very, very forgiving. My respected brothers, I mentioned this hadith time and again, but just once more, we mention this hadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein we can see just how forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Lallah ashaddu farahan bi tawbati abdihi hina yatubu ilayhi min ahadikum kana ala rahilatihi bi ardi falatin fanfalatat minhu alayha ta'amahu wa sharabahu fa'aysa minha fa'ata shajaratan fattaja'a fi dhillihi waqad aysa min rahilatihi. فبينما هو كذلك. The hadith goes on, it's a very lengthy hadith, but Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a similitude, he gives us an example. He says that a person went into the desert and he had a camel on which all his provisions were. And while in the desert, in his journey, the camel ran away. And now this person thought to himself that all my food, all my water, everything is gone. The boiling sun of the desert is bearing down upon him. We can well imagine this person loses absolutely any hope. He feels that now I'm going to meet my doom. I am going to starve to death. He finds a little stump of a tree. He lies down in the shade and he is in this condition that he has lost all hope in life. And then Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that all of a sudden he sees his camel coming towards him with everything in store, with all the provisions coming towards him. We can well imagine how great the ecstasy and the joy of this person is. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that his joy and his ecstasy is such that he gets up with his great joy, he grabs the reins of the camel, فَأَخَذَ بِخِطَامِهِ, and then he says, مِن شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكُ. Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. He is so joyful, he is so ecstatic. He doesn't even know what he is saying. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Lallah ashaddu farahan bi tawbati abdihi. That I take qasam upon Allah, that Allah Ta'ala becomes more happy when his banda turns in repentance towards Allah Ta'ala than this person became when he saw that camel coming towards him. So great is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. My respected brothers, that we find that one of the harms of bid'at, one of the greatest harms of bid'at, is that when we involve ourselves in all these wrong things and we consider them as part of shariat, then we won't get the tawfiq of ever making tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Because if a person feels that what he is doing is part of deen, then how is he ever going to get the thought in his head that he's going to make that he's going to turn repentance towards Allah Ta'ala? And we find that it is very, very unfortunate and it is very, very sad that if we ponder upon many of these strange things and strange talks that come about, they are so foolish, most of them, my respected brothers, that if a person had a little bit of knowledge of deen, he'll be able to protect himself. For instance, on one occasion I heard somebody say that because of the blood that gathered when Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred, some pigeons came and landed on that blood. That is why till today all the pigeons we see I've got red feet. I speak such foolishness. Where can we find such things found in the Shariat of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Little bit of knowledge of deen, all these bid'at, all these deviations, all these innovations, the root cause of it is ignorance. If we can learn the importance of gaining Islamic knowledge for ourselves and also for our children, and another very, very great harm that has come in our society, my respected brothers, is the fact that we feel that once we are in business and we are involved in the dunya, then we cannot lower ourselves to go to the madaris and to go learn. The madaris and the maktabs of our children, we should send them there, they should learn. There is no need for the adults to learn concerning the deen. A mu'min learns from the time he comes in this world till the time he is going to leave this world, my respected brothers, each and every second of his life. And when a person cuts himself off, when a person stops learning, he feels it is no more important for him to learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala, then my respected brothers, bring to mind that hadith of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wherein he said, if Allah desires good for a person, he grants him faqat in deen. On the other hand, if a person is going to be mahroom, then he will be denied the knowledge of deen. So if we find that our lives are such that if we look in the 7 days of the week, there is not a single day or there is not a single moment wherein we are involved in learning the deen of Allah Ta'ala, it is indicative of the fact that we are becoming mahroom of the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. It is a cause of great worry. It is a cause of great harm. We have to start taking stock. What bad amal am I doing? What bad am I doing that as a result of which I am being cut off, I am no more being involving myself in learning the deen? My respect, it is for this reason why, for instance, the elders of the Jamaat have mentioned the daily ta'lim should be taking place. That at least some ta'lim, something we are learning concerning the deen of Allah Ta'ala, day in and day out, so that barakat may come into our homes. Let us learn the importance of Islamic knowledge for ourselves and our children, my respected brothers. This is of absolute importance, because when we will learn each and everything we are going to learn, we are going to get the sawab, the reward from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ma indakum yanfadu, wa ma indallahi baq." All the wealth of this world, all what you are going to gather of this dunya, yanfad, it is going to come to an end. It is going to be destroyed one day. That woman you marry, she may be so beautiful now. When she goes in the grave, she's going to be destroyed. That building that you have put up today, you are looking towards it, you feel pride in your heart. That car that you are driving, you feel pride in your heart. Think, what is the anjam? What is the end of all that? Yanfad, is going to be destroyed. You sweated hours and hours and you toiled hours and hours to earn that, and you feel you have done something that is going to come to an end. That is going to go in the same direction that your body is going to go to. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. And that which you send to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that knowledge of deen which you get, that amal which you bring into your life, baq, that will remain forever and ever and ever. And Allah Ta'ala will cause you to see the fruits of that in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us the tawfiq.